New York has become the 13th state, along with Washington, D.C., to legalize medically assisted suicide. More than a dozen other states are also considering legalizing the practice, which supporters call medical aid in dying. Stephanie Tsai traveled to both coasts to re-examine an issue that for decades has divided Americans along moral and political lines.
I have a brain tumor in my right frontal lobe.
Del DeLashmid envisions a celebration for the day he dies.
We're going to have a fire going that day. Have my little guitar over there and pick it up and strum a little bit. And my sister's going to be here. My son's going to be here. There'll be people here. And I don't want it to be a sad day. I just want it to be a day, you know?
The Portland, Oregon resident says he's planning to take a lethal dose of medication on April 1st.
Why did you choose April 1st?
April 1st. No greater fool am I, says I. So I thought that would be perfect.
He was diagnosed with stage 4 prostate cancer in 2017. Now 67 years old, he's undergone near constant chemotherapy and more than 50 radiation treatments. He had a compelling reason to fight.
I have a granddaughter, and she was 3 at the time.
And you've had almost a decade with her.
Yeah, and I see her every Wednesday. So, and I have since she was 3 months old.
But tumors have now spread to his brain and spine, and he's worried they'll lead to a grueling death.
It's funny, everybody says, you know, you're so brave. And it's like, no, I'm not brave. Because if I was brave, I would die painfully. So, I would rather not die painfully.
DeLashmid meets the requirements of Oregon's Death with Dignity law. Since 1997, the option has been available to adults who have a medical prognosis of 6 months or less to live from at least 2 doctors and are deemed mentally competent. They must also be able to take the drugs themselves.
Remember, there's no pressure to ever take the medication. No. Totally your choice.
Dr. Charles Blanke wrote the prescription for DeLashmid. Blanke was one of the first physicians in the U.S. to practice medical aid in dying. An oncologist by training, he says demand has grown.
More and more of my patients seem to want this option, and I probably write between 100 and 150 prescriptions per year.
Acceptance for legalizing what's also known as medically assisted suicide has been rising steadily in the U.S. Polling in recent years has shown that more than 70% of Americans support it.
The idea of authoring the end of your own life is becoming less and less taboo.
Anita Hannig is a cultural anthropologist and the author of The Day I Die, The Untold Story of Assisted Dying in America.
Medical aid in dying is actually increasingly being seen as a medical treatment that some, and we're talking about a very small subset of the population, choose to avail themselves of when they reach the end of their life and they have a terminal condition.
Since Oregon became the first state to allow assisted dying nearly 30 years ago, 12 more states and Washington, D.C. have passed similar laws. Roughly 13,000 Americans have used medical aid in dying, according to a nonprofit that tracks this data.
Who am I to deny you or your loved one what they're begging for at the end of their life?
New York just approved legalization last month, reigniting opposition from longtime opponents, including the Catholic Church.
So since the beginning of Christianity, it was very clear that God gives life, only God can take life away.
Father Peter Clark is the director of the Institute of Clinical Bioethics at St. Joseph's University in Philadelphia. He says even the phrase medical aid in dying is misleading.
You're committing suicide. Medical aid in dying sounds very different. It sounds like, you know, the doctors are helping you in the last stages of death and dying, but the help is intentionally terminating you. So, I mean, you can play semantics all you want. It's still the same thing.
But Clark says the Catholic Church is not against taking someone off of a ventilator or removing a pacemaker, and he believes more options could be offered to make patients suffer less at the end of life.
People are going to die needlessly.
It's a perspective that 80-year-old Delaware resident and disability rights advocate Denise McMillan Powell shares.
I am shocked. Society is so accepting of this, and their assumption of what suffering is by offering you death instead of better health care, instead of a better life.
McMullen Powell had polio as a child, which has left her with long-term disabilities. She's joined a lawsuit against the state of Delaware, which passed a medical aid in dying law last year. Among other concerns, she fears that people with disabilities will cut their lives short to spare their families the expense of their care.
For them to have that option puts pressure on people with disabilities and makes us feel an obligation to die.
Opponents of assisted dying also often point to other countries as a warning, including Canada, where next year people whose sole underlying condition is a mental health disorder will become eligible.
There's a slippery slope. I mean, if you allow for this, what comes next? I mean, look at the Netherlands, look at Luxembourg, look at Belgium, look at Switzerland. They now allow people who are mentally ill to do this.
Oregon has had these laws in place for decades, and they have not gone down the slippery slope.
Correct, but that's not to say we can't. So, I mean, it may not have happened in Oregon, but it's our closest neighbor, Canada, is allowing for it. You know, the church is very concerned that that could come next year.
Researcher Anita Hannig doesn't see the U.S. going down that road.
Among all the jurisdictions that have legalized assisted dying, the U.S. model is actually the most restrictive. And the gains that have been made in this country are hard won. And today, I would say very few advocates of these laws are willing to push the envelope on them for fear of losing them altogether.
There have been a whole host of reasons put forward by opponents to death with dignity. They believe that this is harming the patient. I feel the situation is the opposite.
Dr. Charles Blanke says he sees people suffering in ways that can't be relieved.
What my patients want, for the most part, is control. They cannot control their life at all. They can't control their cancer. But I can, because of these drugs, offer them essentially 100% control over their death, pretty much when and certainly how. And I can say that it's going to happen without suffering.
When we met Del DeLashmet, he was preparing to pick up his prescription and trying to make the most of the time he has left. He took one last trip to the beach on Oregon's coast, wrote love letters to the people he'll leave behind.
And we had so much fun. We did.
And pulled out old photos.
Are you scared?
There's a part of me that's scared. But there's a part of me that something profound is going to happen to me on April 1st.
Is there anything that would change your mind at this point?
No. Because I want to go as me. The guy that can smile and laugh and joke a little bit, you know, rather than be a pile of pain. Whereas this way, you know, there's a good chance that I may be having a good day, you know, and they can see me like that.
For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Stephanie Tsai.